It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 129 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. Good show for everybody today. We'll go ahead and start the show off the same way we do every week. That's why jumping into the breakdown. The breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. Pretty short breakdown today. Honestly, there's not too much I want to talk about, but I do want to highlight some of the stuff going on with the American Raptors. And again, not a ton of updates other than the fact that the Raptors have been back at practice for 2 weeks now. This week was really like the first full week of practice, you know, less admin stuff, more practicing, a bit more of a regular schedule. And I'm sure we'll just keep getting ramped up as the season goes along. But I guess more importantly, there were a ton of American Raptors in action around the MLR last weekend for the opening weekend of MLR 2022. Campbell Johnstone, of course, scored the first try in Dallas Jackals history on Saturday night. And in that Dallas-Austin Gilgronis match, I think there was five American Raptors and three true like crossover athletes. And Casey McDermott Vives playing for Austin, Sam Phillips playing for Dallas, and Tommy Medeiros, of course, playing for Dallas as well. Campbell Johnstone, the guy I just talked about, was with the Exos from the beginning. You know, obviously comes from a more traditional rugby background than Don McKenna in that match as well. So five American Raptors from the fall active in that match, which was awesome to see. And then just the rest, you know, around the league, we're going to see a lot more this upcoming weekend. Former captain Tani Tupou will make his MLR debut tonight for the Seattle Seawolves as they take on the Utah Warriors. Talk a little bit more about that and all the rugby you could watch this weekend in a couple of minutes. But it's good to see, and it's good to see Campbell get to, you know, score that first try, get in the history books there. And I can imagine we're only going to see more, right? We didn't see Sean Clark, who's still probably nursing his shoulder injury back. Caleb Geiger out in New York, we should see him this weekend, I would think. So it's going to be a fun season keeping up with all these guys. And it was cool to see a lot of them get some action in the opening round. So something to keep an eye on for sure. And then, of course, as the current American Raptors continue to get back into the swing of things, we'll have more news and stuff on them as they get a little bit closer to matches. I think as of now, they're supposed to play their first match in about a month. I will, of course, update you all when I find out more of those specifics on that. But they're getting back into it. I'm looking forward to, you know, like I said, last week I've met a couple of the new guys. Looking forward to getting to know them a little bit better, getting them on the podcast. So it's looking like it's going to be a fun spring, that's for sure. That does it for the breakdown. We'll go ahead and talk about all the rugby you can watch this weekend now. Of course, start with Major League Rugby Round 2. The match I just talked about, Utah Warriors are at the Seattle Seawolves on Thursday. So by the time you hear this, the match will already have been over. That's at 8:30 p.m. on the Rugby Network. Looking forward to seeing what Tani does in that match. For the next match of the weekend, we got some Friday night rugby. The Los Angeles Giltinis are at the Toronto Arrows. First home match for Toronto in 2 years, I think. It's been a long time. So, you know, that place is going to be wound up, ready to cheer on the Arrows. That's on Friday at 8 p.m. on the Rugby Network. We got the Dallas Jackals at San Diego Legion. On Saturday at 2 p.m., that one will be on the Rugby Network as well. Again, looking forward to seeing a lot of those Raptors fellas in the Dallas Jackals lineup. That's what I'm going to be looking for. We've got Rugby New York. That's going to be a hard habit to break at Houston Sabercats on Saturday at 6 p.m. That one will also be on the Rugby Network. And that match, of course, got Pono Davis down in Houston. Looking forward to seeing Caleb Geiger in New York. Something we'll be keeping our eye on. Next match of the weekend, we have Rugby ATL at NOLA Gold on Saturday at 6 p.m. And that one's on Fox Sports 1. And then the final match of the weekend wraps up on Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. on the Rugby Network. We have Old Glory DC at the Austin Gill Gronies. Again, looking forward to seeing Casey McDermott Vi get some more run down in Austin. So it does it for all the MLR matches, getting them out of the way early. That's why we have a Thursday and a Friday night match, and then the rest of the matches are on Saturday because we got the Super Bowl this weekend. So looking forward to watching that. Moving into Premiership, we got Bristol Bears versus London Irish on Friday at 12:45 p.m. and Leicester Tigers versus Northampton Saints on Friday at 12:45 p.m. So you got yourself a nice little Friday slate. You can watch either one of those matches and then roll straight into the Giltinis at the Arrows. Got Sale Sharks versus Worcester Warriors on Saturday at 8 a.m. Exeter Chiefs versus Gloucester on Saturday at 8 a.m. Wasps versus Bath on Saturday at 8 a.m. And then Saracens versus Harlequins on Sunday at 6 a.m. It's the last one you can squeeze in right before the Super Bowl. No, never mind. There's a couple more coming up. Jump the gun. But you can catch all those matches on Peacock. We've got one match in the Allianz Premier 15s this weekend. It looks like a makeup match. We've got the Harlequins women versus the Worcester Warriors women. That's on Saturday at 8 a.m. on Premier15s.com. And then last but certainly not least, we got round two of the Guinness Six Nations. We've got Wales versus Scotland, France versus Ireland. Wales versus Scotland's on Saturday at 7:15 a.m. France versus Ireland's on Saturday at 8:45 a.m. And then Italy versus England is on Sunday at 8 a.m. So if you really want to watch sports all day, you can watch Saracens versus Harlequins on Sunday at 6 a.m. right into Italy versus England on Sunday at 8 a.m. And then you can watch a Super Bowl. And I don't know about the Super Bowl, but those rugby matches will be on Peacock. That does it, I think, for all the rugby you can watch this weekend. I know there's quite a bit. We're almost in full swing. We got Super Rugby getting rolling next week. Looking forward to watching that. So it's just the list is going to continue to grow, which is good news since we're in the spring almost. Moving into the interview portion of the show, this interview with Seattle Seawolves Director of Communications Carly McKinnon is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. So for those that don't know, Carly, she's been involved with the Seattle Seawolves since MLR started. I got to know her when I worked for the league. Stayed in contact with her ever since. A few times I've made it over to Seattle, I make sure to say hi to Carly. She's an important person in rugby. She's got a unique perspective on everything. Like I said, she's been in the same position with the Seawolves since the beginning of it all. So she's seen, you know, everything from day one to now. And like I said, she's an important person. She's got an awesome story, so I wanted to make sure I reached out to her. I talked to her about doing this last summer. We finally got it nailed down, knocked it out just before New Year's. And this is something I want to do a little bit more this year, is just kind of highlight some of the more behind-the-scenes aspects of rugby, stuff that you don't think about all the time. That's kind of what I want to focus on a little bit this year. And I thought Carly would be the perfect person, you know, to start this off with. So to give you all a little separate peek behind the curtain, this was my flu game. Did this interview a couple hours before I test positive for COVID just before New Year's. I woke up that morning, had a pretty solid feeling that I had it. And sure enough, went and got tested, got COVID. So that really doesn't have anything to do with the interview. But just a little fun fact, just a little tidbit. If you're keeping score at home, if you got like a DNVR rugby trivia tracker, that could be a question, I think, somewhere at some point in time. So with that introduction, let's go ahead and kick into my conversation with Seattle Seawolves Director of Communications, Carly McKinnon. All right, now welcome onto the show a very special guest. We have the Marketing Communications Director for the Seattle Seawolves, Carly McKinnon. Carly, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Colton?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming to chat with me for a little bit. Looking forward to it. I know we talked about it last summer, so it's been nice to kind of get it knocked out here 6-7 months later.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, Carly, first question I ask everybody that comes on the show is just, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Yeah. So I'm born and raised here in the state of Washington, kind of on the east side of Western Washington. Went to high school here, went to my university is over in Pullman, Washington, which is basically Idaho. But with it's as far as I could get away from home without going out of state.
Get that
from
state a, tuition.
Yeah, exactly. And then I came back right after college to the Seattle area, and I just really haven't found a reason to leave. And rugby is a big part of that. So yeah, born and raised, and haven't left yet.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's a great place. I love going to visit.
Yeah,
it's a must stop every year. I feel like I got to knock it out, go up there and check everything out. Unfortunately, last year came at the time when it was like a billion degrees. That was awful.
Yes. Yeah, August is a scorcher, and it definitely makes up for the rain and kind of the overcast throughout the year.
Yes, I guess it's got to balance out somehow. So, Carly, how did you get involved in rugby? When did you kind of take an interest in it, and just how did that all come about?
Yeah, so rugby for me started officially back in 2010. It had an opportunity to kind of step into my life in 2009 when I was a junior in high school, when a friend of mine asked if I wanted to come to a practice, but I was already committed to running track, which in hindsight is so silly because I was only running track and involved in track as like an off-season sport for soccer.
Yeah.
I'm not any good at those types of individual team sports or individual sports, to be honest. And I'm not very fast. So it's just something that I did, and I felt really loyal and committed to that already. So I bypassed the opportunity to go to a practice a year sooner. But my senior year, I didn't run track because I got a job prepping for college. That's what my family wanted me to do. And the same person asked me, like, hey, do you want to come to rugby practice? And I grew up always wanting to play American football. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's something that's changing for yeah. girls these days, which is great to see, but not an option for me back in the early 2000s and 2010s. So rugby realistically was actually a great fit for me. And so since I didn't have another sport conflict, I did go to a practice for a club team called the Kent Crusaders, which I'm pretty sure is the first girls like high school aged club team in the country. They started in 1991. They have quite the track record, which I had no idea how successful the club was. I was just going out to try something right. that looked like football. So yeah, it took like one practice is all it kind of took, and I fell in love between the coach, his name's Rex Norris, he was my coach, and I get a lot of credit to him for me falling in love with it so quickly, because yeah. I got treated differently than I did in my soccer experience. And I think I was craving that as a young person and as a young athlete, to just be welcomed. And there wasn't, right. you know, there's politics in rugby, but not in the same way that I was dealing with like soccer.
Right. I totally agree. That's kind of how my experience was with football, you know, coming from football over into rugby. It just was a big breath of fresh air. And it was one that I welcomed for sure. So then where'd your kind of rugby career take you after that? Because I know you're still playing. So if you go off to college and play?
Yeah, so I started like 3 months left in my senior year of high school. We got the chance to go to Nationals that year, which was actually in Salt Lake City. And we got to play at the Rio Tinto Stadium, like the MLS yeah. stadium there. And so I literally went from like not being able to afford being on a travel soccer team to playing in an MLS stadium yeah, in like 3 months, which was so special. I talk about access and opportunity. We did the 15-hour bus ride thing, which I'd never done before. And lots of team bonding with parents, coaches, and my teammates as well. That summer, they kicked off a girls stateside team. 17 out of 22 girls that were picked for that squad were from Kent. Nice. Then a couple just other girls that like wanted to play more rugby. And so then we got to go down to Oregon and play NorCal and SoCal, the Oregon Redhawks, all the other stateside. So that was another yeah. cool opportunity pretty quick. So by the time I got to WSU, which I was heading over there for sport management and business, I knew I wanted to play. So I actually walked up to I think most universities have like the mall, quote unquote. You have like your main you know, strip that you kind of walk, and there's the bookstore. So we had the mall, and women's rugby had a table out, and I walked right up to it and started writing my information down, and it kind of shell shocks the people volunteering and working at the table, because they're like, wait, like, you know what rugby is?
You know about this?
You know about this? And I was like, yeah, I've played, and like their eyes lit up, and they're like, what the heck? Like, that's abnormal.
Right, that's gonna be like at the time. Discovering gold, because everybody else I talked to on the show kind of has a similar story to you, where it's like, I was walking through, you know, the student union or the quad, and somebody kind of threw me a ball, and I caught it, and that's kind of how I started to play. So I'm sure you had to find somebody that actually has played before, and you don't have to start from scratch. It was probably, you know, brand new to them.
And there was another teammate of mine from Kent, Shelby Mastriani, who she came as well, and so she played too. So they got two girls who had played at least a little bit before getting to the university level. So I started out just like, you know, most rookies do. But then our senior fullback decided to stop playing in the spring. And so all of a sudden I got put in the backfield pretty quick. And as you know, making that jump from youth rugby or like kind of adult rugby to adult rugby is crazy. And I was fortunate enough while I was at WSU to play with two capped Eagles, Anne Peterson, who's a year younger than me, and then Megan Bonney, who's now Megan Bonney Barrett, for Danny's wife.
Yes. What a couple.
And well, yeah, what a couple. I want to coach that kid. They're expecting. So I would love to manifesting it now on your podcast. I'd love to coach that child.
We'll send it to him. We'll send him the clip.
Perfect. Some like hard hitters. We just had a solid squad, and it was a quick wake up call. I remember getting stuck in one of the tackling drills with like the three best tacklers on the team, and that is something I'm still working on as a skill set today, because I've played for some offense heavy teams. So we were competitive at the D2 level, and we got to go to nationals. We lost to Norwich in a semifinal, I believe. The score was like 29-12 or something like that. Jackie Finland at the Rugby Breakdown, or it might have been Rugby Mag at that time, said that was the final, because then Norwich went on to smash somebody else. So that was like cool. Like, you know, that was my first taste of like, oh, seeding can cause issues.
Right.
And stuff like that. So I got involved too on the admin side as the match secretary. So like starting to get a taste for organizing referees, like giving directions to the other teams, and kind of holding a position, which also included by nature just making some Facebook events and starting to dabble in that, because we needed it. We wanted people to get to our games. So in 2013, we got to go back to Stanford. And we made a heck of a run for the 2013 title. It was a much easier route that year. I think Norwich bumped up to varsity or D1 or something like that, so they weren't even involved. I got really good at kicking for points because our team was just would score. So counterattacks and kicking for points were kind of where I started to thrive. At the university level. During my gap, like sophomore to junior year, I got an internship with Atavist Rugby, formerly Serevi Rugby, over here in Seattle, just by happenstance. And I got to start doing some youth coaching. Youngest was 4, which is so much fun. They always pick up the size 5 balls instead of, even though we had the size 3. Exactly. And I think they liked that they could like engage with something big and it was lightweight. So they would run around with the size 5. So it's just wholesome content
a little easier, I'm sure, too. I've seen little kids run around with a big rugby ball.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And by working there, I naturally got pulled into the Seattle Breakers OPSB scene, and that was kind of my first experience Super Rugby, getting to see some of that, that play, the Lou Stanfills, the Pape Tuilagas, Mike Petrie, all those guys, probably in their prime, to be honest.
Right.
Or just peaking, probably going into their, you know, second or push for their World Cups and stuff. And so I started playing sevens in 2012 because Evan Hag, who was working at Atavis at the time, kind of roped me into it. But that was a ton of fun. And between coaching all summer and playing sevens, one of my teammates, I remember I got back to my junior year, which was my last year on campus, just the way that my degree went.
Yeah.
And we had like a couple weeks for the rookie or for the vets before like the rookies came out, just to kind of get us our cobwebs off. So we looked like we knew what we were doing for the new hopeful rugby players. And one of my teammates, Trelby, was like, "What the hell did you do all summer?" Because I could all of a sudden I could like pass off my left hand,
yeah,
and stuff. And I was like, "I played rugby." Like all I like had a ball in my hand,
right?
6 out of 7 days a week, between coaching, summer camps, and then Saturdays were sevens. And then sevens by nature, you just get a lot more time with the ball in hand. So, so we won in 2013, and then I came back over here to Seattle and another seven season and kind of got stuck into the adult rugby scene, and was welcomed to the BCRU that fall.
Yeah.
for 15. So, you know, playing up in British Columbia was just another huge step up. And we lost every single game that season. I think I played 80 minutes of every game, which is probably anywhere from 14 to 16.
Baptism by fire. You had no choice but
To get better. Exactly. And I learned how to ruck that year because that was just something I, like, defensively did not spend that much time on that side of the ball, which was a blessing and a curse because definitely a catch 22. So rapid learning curve my first year playing 15s for Seattle. So I'm still playing 15s, still playing sevens, trying to figure out, you know, which one I like better still. Everyone always asks me, and I think I'm leaning towards sevens a bit more. And maybe that's just my body talking.
Yeah, that's what I was
not getting, not being a target as a nine and a 10. As you know,
right,
and the audience knows we're a hot commodity to get a shoulder into.
Exactly. Just when you get rid of the ball, they want to, you know, give you some extra right there. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's a lot of rugby, and that, I guess, it kind of leads into, I know you hinted at a little bit, but starting to make these Facebook groups and all this stuff. So I guess how did the opportunity to link up with the Seawolves come about?
Yeah. So I, spent actually at Atavis, and I ended up the last role I kind of had was a content manager, and I did a bit of customer service as well for the camps and the parents. And so I remember I just was the youngest person, so here's your, you know, trial by fire again.
Yes.
Here's the Instagram login, and we had about 200 followers, I think that was it. And this is before paid ads and the beast that algorithms have made the digital world. And so just my whole mantra, and it still is to this day where I can do it, is just put the social in social media. And I love talking to people about rugby. So naturally it was a good fit. I was also coaching high schoolers. At the time I came back in 2014, I started coaching my alma mater, the Kent Crusaders. Nice. For during the seventh season. So I was around the customer, both the parent and the player. And so I feel like I just picked up this natural voice, and tendency to be able to engage with folks over social media. So I did take that. I remember that 200 mark. And by the time I left, we were at 28,600
nice.
Followers on Instagram, and we got verified and all that good stuff. Obviously lots of credit to, you know, Wysali Serevi and Emily Bidewell and Matt Truville, Shalom, Sean Pittman. We had just this star studded
group
of people.
Murderers that obviously of a team right there.
Yeah. I was like, you could ever have like a like a biz ops like talk like 15 15 of the week or the year, that would be kind of a fun, like a front office or rugby ops, whatever you want to call it. But we had that. We had that team. So that obviously, you know, I can't take all the credit. But just building something from the start with no, we didn't do any paid. We didn't really have the budget. And it just didn't make as much sense as it does nowadays to do that. So I got to, you know, do some play-by-play for the Cerevi Selects back when they were tearing it up with their Triple Crown at the Vegas Sevens, the Invitational. Nice. And that was my first introduction to Matt Turner back then. And, you know, had the pleasure of working with him later now in life with the Seawolves. But, you know, Tomasi Tama, Miles Craigwell, Tim Maupin, Kellen Gordon, Mike Palafau. I mean, they just had a star-studded team. And so getting to practice, you know, people cared about the scores of those things. That was as professional as our rugby was then. So I was like, I'm going to tweet about it. Do some play-by-plays, do some scores. So a big thing for me too is just like, what would I want as a rugby fan or a sports fan? What do I want to know? When do I want to know it? And I try and use that lens pretty often. And it's definitely moved, you know, from the high school college athlete trying to go to a camp, make the national team, to the Seawolves audience, you know, our main like season ticket members and fans actually skew on the bit older side. I'd say like 35 plus.
Yeah.
And so that's been kind of an interesting transition, thinking about when I can use emojis or when I need to just spell it out and be really clear. So my background out of this definitely helped a ton, but I was kind of ready to get out of working in rugby. And just honestly make a bit more money. The cost of living in Seattle is tough. And although I got a ton of experience and I got to go to Bermuda twice and coach, I got to go to England for the World Club Sevens and help manage the team. You know, really invaluable stuff. For sure. I was like, I still gotta go make some money.
Unfortunately, so I got recruited for
So I got recruited for a healthcare job at Seattle Children's, which is our pediatric research hospital here in the area. And I took a risk, and that paid off. But at first I was just a contractor. It was a 6-month contract, and it was like, let's see if it's a good fit. It was a new role for them, and I was like, if I hate it after 6 months and I miss sport, then I'll figure it out. And say probably a month and a half later, you know, or the Seawolves kind of, I knew about the Seawolves. I knew about MLR. I knew that it was going to be in its infancy and like that wasn't a financial option for me quite yet. So I poked around a little bit, but that was the takeaway I got. So I was like, okay, I can't do that right now. Maybe let's get them through, you know, and we just got through the pro rugby situation, right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't exactly hopeful that something was going to pan out. And I know I was not the only one that was feeling that way.
Right.
So a teammate of mine, she played a little bit of rugby here in Seattle, but played mainly in Chicago. Kim Beal, she was PR, head of PR for the Seattle Storm for about 6 years up here. And we met through rugby, became friends via the industry. And the Seattle Storm have an arm of sport management called Force 10. And they help the women's NWSL team, the Reign, which is now the OL Reign, kind of get off the ground. They help Pac-12 men's and women's basketball with ticket sales. And the current ownership of the Seawolves was friends with the president of the Storm. And so they're like, hey, let us help out with the PR and some of the stuff that maybe you don't want to deal with in your first year. And so that just happened to be Kim. I was following social media and there was a couple like small errors, nothing that's not a big deal, but the weather popped up on an Instagram thing, and it was the wrong weather. And so I'd send her a screenshot, like we do as teammates, and we, you know, we banter and we pick on each other. So I like sent it to her, and I was like, you know, get your boys, or, you know, whoever's running things, like, you know, heads up. And so after about three or four times of doing that, I think she probably got annoyed to the point where clearly I might have been a better option. And so she called me, and I was at work, and she's like, hey, you know, I'm calling you as a friend, like the SeaWolves owner is going to reach out to you tomorrow about, you know, supporting on the social front. Like, do you have capacity? And I'm like a month and a half into this job, and so far I'm really liking it, but I'm like, this is literally a dream situation.
Right.
Professional rugby in my backyard of my hometown, as a sport management graduate. So I was like, I swore a little bit, and I was like, you know, no, but I'll make capacity.
Yeah.
I'll make it work. And so, former owner, Shane Skinner, reached out to me the next day, and we had a conversation, and, one thing led to another, and I was in the mix within, you know, a week or two, and this was, I think my first day was technically March 9th, and I believe our first match against San Diego at home was April 22nd.
Jeez.
So it was another trial by fire. And now that I'm saying this all to you, I'm like, wow, I've really had to learn on the fly for a lot of
I mean, that's the way to go through it, though. I feel like everybody I talk to, and even like in my, you know, experience too, it was the same way when I worked for MLR. I went to the free match that the Raptors played against NOLA Gold, and I saw Hampton there that I'd met, you know, 6 months earlier, and he just was like, I'm drowning in work, can you please help me? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I think it was the next day he sent me over the stuff, and there were off we went. So it's just kind of like how it goes, I feel like.
Okay, well, that's making me feel a little less crazy in the way that I've had to go about my rugby career, my professional career. So
yeah.
So got stuck in through via a rugby connection, which is as serendipitous as it should be.
Right. That's so, yeah. I mean, here you are 5 years later. So I guess what's a day in the life of Carly look like as the director of marketing communications for the SeaWolves?
Oh man. Yeah. So my new coined term for the role is a part-time job, full-time energy. And what I mean by that is it's so much more organized, and I do have, you know, marketing support through an agency here in Seattle called Matic, which is actually Adam Kopp was my boss back at Atavis. So I learned a lot from him, and now I get to work with him. So it's a pretty cool full circle opportunity there. So I have so much more support, but now that this thing is sticking around, we're going into year five, people are paying attention. It's something that I just think about all the time. Because I'm like, what's the next thing we could do to tap into that, you know, that audience here in Seattle that just has never even heard of us or heard of rugby. So I work remotely now. The consequence of the pandemic. I'm a non-clinical role at Seattle Children's. So obviously that helps with some of the other extracurricular rugby things I like to do in my life, as I can kind of multitask or take calls as needed. But yeah, I think social is still something that is a main thing. I'm doing all the posting, managing, responding. So definitely, you know, checking email and the social channels, especially during this time of season of the year when we're having international signings. So like we just announced Duncan Matthews overnight, South African fullback by way of the Blue Bulls and the Lions. And so, you know, we got a lot of traction overnight. So I kind of try and field that and get rid of all the notifications in the morning, and then kind of go about the day from there. So handful of meetings, but I'm not micromanaged
That's good.
Or anything like that, so it's helpful.
That's good. This might be a personal question. What's your screen time look like? Did you turn off those reports on Sunday?
Yeah.
Mine's bad too.
I think the last I don't even know. It's probably inaccurate since it's the holidays and I've been on my downtime, but I think the most I've ever seen is probably 11 hours.
Oof. I'm not far off from that though, so I guess that's just how it is.
And it's definitely a lot of Instagram. Instagram, and I think that's consumption is a personal user. It is one of my favorite platforms as well as the Seawolves, and it's where the players are at.
Right.
I think, and unless you turn into like a proper professional rugby player, you're not really on Twitter, at least in America. So it's interesting. They're all on the gram if they have anything. So.
Yeah. What do you like most about your role with the Seawolves?
I think getting to do a little bit of everything when it comes to that tone management and who I get to work with. So, we'll have someone on Twitter all the way from Florida ask what a seawolf is because they don't have orcas down there, which is a totally fair question. All the way to, why was that a penalty? Kind of like looking at the roster. Well, some fans who are like, oh, I would have put this person in, and trying to engage where I can.
Right.
I've had to learn how to just not respond. And we're getting to the point where I don't have to respond to everything. And you still want to kind of make it special when you do respond. You don't want to give it to everybody, and you also don't want to engage with folks who are upset that their favorite player didn't get rostered.
Yeah.
On the match day 23. And then we have future, players of the Seawolves and MLR future to engage with. So I get to kind of work with every odd type of audience member for rugby, whether it's the newbie or almost like the hater, or like the person that's like on the fence that we kind
there's
of need
of
to
those.
Win over. And there's a lot of them. And I know you're dealing with that a lot, especially trying to, your work with the XOs and,
yes.
and trying to get, I'm sorry, the Raptors now.
Understandable.
American Raptors.
It changes quite a bit.
Yes, yeah, but specifically in that whole the XOs, approach and project. I'm sure you've been dealing with a lot of that energy as well. And then all the way to the family that's totally bought in, and we have, their daughter's a ball kid and stuff like that, and then the future player, as well as getting to interact with the other sports teams in town. And we kind of have this Seattle love
I've
thing
noticed
going
that.
On. And that's,
I feel like you, that's, your team is the best at that of all the MLR teams, just based on what I've seen from afar.
Yeah. And I think that's something that was organically started by the other teams in the area. And now it's just even gone. It's gone a step further. Russell Wilson owns part of the Sounders. He's part of their ownership group. As well as Macklemore and Drew Carey. So you have Seattle celebrities, kind of opting in. One of the Sounders just opened up a coffee shop up the way for me, and it's wonderful. It's Colombian coffee, and he's, South American. And so there's just this energy that's already there. And then you add the rugby community and the values and the approach, and it makes it my job very easy to interact. So credit to all of those, out there in the Seattle sports community that have kind of melded this welcoming, non-competitive place.
That's awesome.
To be a part of.
Because it is hard. I know I've seen, it's hard to prove, legitimacy to the Seattle Seahawks. It's hard for them to, take notice of you and acknowledge your existence and then even, root you or cheer for you and, root you on. So to be able to, do that is awesome.
Yeah, and each team has different rules, I think. And it goes back to that, are you getting, do you have the freedom as a social media manager
right.
to do the community development, or do you have rules?
Right.
And I think the Seahawks have a bit more rules, and that might even be an NFL based
right.
thing, but I have noticed they're not as, soccer gets pretty chippy. NHL gets pretty chippy.
Uh-huh.
I think the Predators or the Canes blocked one another this year on Twitter.
Huh. That would seem
something
the league wouldn't allow. But.
Yeah, and so, and then you pan over and, we're really trying to push the friendly banter on the MLR side, since the way that the league is set up, we all do better when we each do better. So right. it's we're
a
trying to engage
in boats, right, as they say.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. What is the most challenging part of the job? Is just being alert all the time?
Yeah, I think being alert. I think I would say, even in a non-COVID year, just dealing with the changes that professional sport brings.
Right.
You know, roster changes and whether that information gets to me. You know, in the time I would like it to be, and we've had a decent amount of like turnover. As someone who's been there from the beginning, I believe I'm one of two. My boss Brian Jones is the other one. He's our president, who I believe is you've mentioned to me before is Colorado native.
Yeah, he's got some Colorado ties.
Yeah, so I think him and I are the last two standing from 2018 from the operations side, and. It's just been tough, like getting a process. So yeah, those changes, like our product is people.
Right.
The players are a product, and so when our if someone gets hurt and we have changes, and some people don't maybe think about broadcast and think about updating our fans the way that I have to, and
right,
you know, stuff like that. So that's tough, but I know that everyone else is fielding a million different things. So just trying to, you know, when I approach the situation, it's just trying to be, you know, be human about it.
Yeah,
like,
I understand
hey,
that. You know, people got different priorities, you know?
Yeah. And then you add, you know, COVID into the mix. And that was a whole nother thing to be like being on like mask photo duty.
Yeah.
You know, are we representing, you know, it's like, yes, we want to represent the brand. You know, we don't want the guys, you know, out like posting a bunch
right.
of party pics. So now we add the mask and 6 feet and
be responsible.
You know,
yeah. Make sure that's tough.
Yeah. So just kind of having my, I feel like I need to have my nose and my ears to the ground at all times. But I think that I do enjoy that, but it is difficult. So I think
yeah.
even the hard parts of the job, I still enjoy. Sometimes I just feel like it's a lot of preventable things,
yes.
or we could see it coming. So it's like, how do we build some processes in to make, you know, rugby a bit more professional?
Right.
And that's something I tell the guys. I didn't get to do it last year because we were not assembling the way that we
yeah.
normally would. But I normally tell them in my, like my media,
media training.
Sorry, my puppy
oh,
in the background.
Okay. Dogs are welcome on the podcast, the dog podcast.
Okay. He's a big, ball guy like mom is. So he
yeah.
needs his ball. There we go. I tell them that like, we have to, it's just like being a student athlete, right? You have to be a student before you can be an athlete.
Yeah.
And with rugby, with where we're at right now, like we have to be professional
right.
before we can have the rugby bit, before we can have the boat races and the tour energy and the banter. It's like, we got to tick these boxes first before we can get that. So I've been trying to remind them because we're in this, it's a weird transition. It's
it
weird
is.
For me. I know a lot of these guys and I know them personally. So,
right.
It's something we all have to do, is and for the good of the sport,
right?
If we want it to,
right?
To
and
grow.
I've had a lot of conversations like that privately, I guess, like just with people and, you know, my personal life. And, I feel like we are getting there slowly but surely, but yeah, there is, you know, certain things that I still look at and I'm like, this got to change if this is going to last, you know, like we need to make the appropriate changes if we want this to keep growing and trending in the right direction.
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah.
And that means someone's got to be the party pooper.
Yep.
And I feel like that's me a lot.
Like you said, somebody has to do it. It's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it. So, Carly, I like asking rugby people this. What's your favorite rugby memory? Kind of comes off the top of your head. I like asking this. It could be a high school match. It could be whatever. Like, you've been involved with a lot of cool, you know, different things. I'm going to ask you favorite Seawolf memory next, so maybe don't say one of those if you want to. But What's your favorite rugby memory that comes to your mind?
I'm sure there's probably a top five list somewhere, but as someone who has always been not the shining star or a game changer, I would call it. I did have my like game changing moment actually there in Glendale back in 2016. I suffered a knee injury in practice, a little bit of friendly fire, but I'm not bitter, it's okay. I didn't get to go to the Sweet 16s or the round eight, whatever we did the weekend before, mainly because our coach said like no a few more weeks, even though my PT had cleared me. And so I was just like, man, like I want to play. And so we are queued up to face Chicago North Shore. This was their pre-WPL days, in the D1 final in Glendale. And we beat Beantown the year before. So this would be an opportunity to go back to back, which is pretty cool. And this is when we had Naima Reddick, Ashley Kamichik, Kelsey Stockert. We had some household Eagle names on the squad. I think Kerry White was still in the mix at that point, former Eagle nine. So and then just girls that have been playing together for a long time. And I ended up starting in the final, but on the wing. And Kelsey Stockert did not start on the wing, which I was like, wait a second, like, why am I on the wing? That's not, I haven't played wing since high school type of thing, but their mindset, the coaching staff, was like, we need you on the field for kicking. Because that is my bread and butter. And so I was like, all right. So I think in the first like 15 or 20 minutes, we had a couple penalties. And, as you know, the high altitude in Glendale is great for golfers and rugby kickers.
I kicked footballs in high school too, and that's what I was like.
Oh my gosh.
I was in Denver, so when we'd go play like down in Colorado Springs or something, the ball would fly a little bit farther. Made my kickoffs look a little bit better.
Yes. You're like, oh, a nice little edge. That's like
Yes.
a fun thing to look forward to. And so I don't remember the final score. I think it was 30 something to 10 maybe, but I got to put the first 9 points on the board within the first 20, 25 minutes of a game. And now that I'm working in professional rugby, I know how important that is.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Atlanta beat Seattle this year predominantly by kicks
Right.
At home, and so, like one try and the rest were penalties. So I kind of had my shiny moment where I felt like I was really, contributing to the scoreboard. Because I don't have a knack for the try zone. I love putting other people in it.
Yeah.
So I think that was my
That's
favorite, and we got to
awesome.
go back to back.
Perfect. Yeah, I totally know what you mean. Like I said, love kicking, and it's disappointing for me though, because I have picked up golf in the last few years, and I am so bad everywhere else. Like when I played in Hawaii with my parents, and don't hit it as far. It sucks.
Yeah, it's a tough learning curve.
It is. So what's your favorite Seawolves memory then, since you've been there for literally all of them?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think there was a game when we played NOLA year one where I think Brock Stollard scored 20 out of the 25 points. And that he got the baller Brock Stollard name. I got to witness the seawall being born when the guys went 34 phases against Utah. Which, after talking to Hulu this past year, who played for Utah and for us, I kind of agree with him. He posted that I think the best rivalry in the MLR might actually be Seattle and Utah. And kind of the grudge match. Everyone thinks it's San Diego because of the one match, but I think the proper back and forth with Utah might be our actual rivalry. So 34 phases, turned over the ball, everyone, the seawall defense was born. But it's just tough to beat being in San Diego and watching Joe Pederson go for the drop goal and thinking, oh, we have time left.
Yeah.
High tackle, kick to touch, and Dan Treuweiler on the throw and a 13 man maul to win it in overtime. And to be there. I unfortunately though I will regret this for the rest of my life. I was on the other side of the field.
Were you?
I was kitty corner. Across the way.
I came down from the box. I walked right down that hill and I just stood right there and it just so happened to roll right into my face. I had a great view of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you got it at least because I just was standing on the side of the field with my former player that I coached, current teammate and current now best friend, Jenny Johnson.
Yeah.
She's my Twitter spotter on match day.
I always see you guys on TV together. I can always like
yes.
this big blonde girl and then Carly right now.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. She is awesome. And she also works in sports. So it's definitely not a handout by any means. She's earned her spot to be there and help, on match day. But yeah, so we always stand on that 22 when we're at Starfire. So that's just kind of where we camped out. And, but she did turn the GoPro on early, and
good.
She got my reaction. So I have my full reaction, on video. So I guess that's probably why it's my favorite is because it's one
yeah.
I get to replay on my phone every now and then.
That is
so.
A good one. I love it. Carly, what's the rest of the, I guess it's hard to even call it the off season anymore because the season's right around the corner. So I guess what's the next few weeks look like for you?
Yeah. So next few weeks, will be headshot day. So getting the media day done once we get the kit in hands here in Seattle from Paladin. It will be hopefully kind of a media combine, which we normally like to be a bit more hands-on,
right.
But with the rising COVID cases, I don't think we're going to, you know, let the media come and hit a tackle bag, pass a rugby ball,
right.
be lifted in a line out. Kind of that stuff we like to normally do. So getting them out to at least a practice to get some B-roll. Kind of just hammering the media outlets. The Seahawks are not having a good season. And the Kraken matches keep getting postponed because of COVID and the Canadian border
right.
issues. So I think we have a good opportunity. You know, the Sounders don't start till Feb. Spacing on when the storms start. But we have this kind of like really nice window and kind of pathway that I would like to capitalize on if
yeah.
I can with the media. And then yeah, we're supposed to have some two preseason matches against UBC OB Ravens out of British Columbia, and then Phil Mack is bringing the Rugby Canada West Selects
yeah.
down for another preseason test, which I'm extra looking forward to that one just because I think sounds like the age is like 25 and younger.
Perfect.
For the Rugby Canada guys, and I know that they need some positivity. You know, obviously I want the Seawolves to win,
yes.
but it doesn't mean they can't come and perform and kind of spark some hope for
right.
their fans for the future moving forward. So it is going to be busy.
Yes, it's right around the corner too. What is it, 30-some days, 40-some days, something like that?
Yeah, I think we're like, I don't know, 38 days
oh.
to, yeah, we host Toronto Feb 6.
Yeah,
so
that'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, and then we have a Thursday game against Utah.
Oh,
so
boy.
That'll be, and then L.A., Toronto's going to play L.A. Up in B.C.
Cool.
On the 11th. So I was like,
can I go,
if the Clippers open, that would be... That I would love. I mean, that's going to be the first MLR match played in BC for
yeah.
first regular season. So we'll see. Maybe I can sneak up and go be a fan.
It's the best. I've been doing that a lot more these last couple of years. It's awesome. I love it. That's all the questions I have for you, Carly. I usually leave this last part open. If you want to push socials or anything, feel free to shout it out.
Oh yeah. Well, obviously I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say, you know, go ahead and go follow at Seawolves Rugby on all the accounts. We just got our Twitter verification,
Saw
which
that.
was a bucket.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. That
It
was a
looked like
bucket list item.
you went 10 rounds with Twitter, it looked like, over these last couple of months, so.
Yes. Yeah. So excited. That's that legitimacy piece, you know, you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That's massive, massive in our sport market. So yeah, we're at Seawolves Rugby. And then if you care to follow me, I'm at McKinnon Carly on Twitter and at Caffeinated Carly on Instagram, which I still can't believe that handle was available because
That's a gem.
it's perfect. So yeah, I'm the voice and the face behind the brand and excited to continue to be and yeah, I'm just gonna keep doing whatever I can to grow the game until hopefully it's a professional full-time
Yeah.
opportunity, which I know a lot of folks are also in line and waiting for. So I hope we all get to get there in due time.
Yeah, we'll keep up the good work, Carly. Thank you so much for your time. I'll try to shoot up again. I gotta have, Seattle on my list every year. Try to shoot up again, catch a match this year. So I'll be sure to say hello.
All right, we can't wait to see you.
I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Seattle Seawolves Director of Communications, Carly McKinnon. I know I certainly did. I appreciate Carly taking some time out of her day to come chat with me for a little bit. I felt kind of bad because I think she was on vacation, when we arranged that phone call. So I had to make her work a little bit. But I really did appreciate the conversation and I enjoyed it and I hope everybody did as well. So make sure you give Carly a follow. Keep up with everything she's doing over there with the Seawolves. Just a kind of a fun look behind the curtain and something to think about, I guess, as the year goes on. So we'll go ahead and move into the required reading portion of the show now and do some shameless self-promotion here. But I'm working on this thing every week this year during MLR season called the MLR Grab Bag. It's a weekly feature I'll be putting together every Monday, sometimes on Tuesday if I need to take a Monday off or something. But I really want to highlight the fun parts of rugby because I feel like these last couple of years I've been doing these weekly recaps. And to be honest, I'm just bored of it. Like I'm bored of writing this team beat this team and this person scored the try and this person kicked the conversion. So I found myself last year kind of dreading writing those. When it came time to do it, wasn't looking forward to it. I wasn't excited about it. Felt like work. And so I thought, I want to do something a little bit more fun. I want to do something that excites me and gets me excited to write it and put it together. So hopefully that translates into people excited to read it. And I think I found something fun to replace those boring weekly recaps with in this grab bag. And it's already been more enjoyable for me. Just one weekend of even thought this week, I've been finding myself thinking of stuff to, put in it. How can I make it better? What I think people would enjoy. So I think it's good. It feels good. It feels fresh. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to keeping that up all year, kind of seeing where it goes and seeing how it does and seeing what people, whether they like it or not. So I will link that article in the article that houses this podcast and in the description of this podcast. And I highly encourage you all to check it out because it's fun. I want to highlight the fun stuff, the cool stuff, because at the end of the day, it's sports. Sports should be fun. Sports shouldn't feel like, sports. There's times when sports, has more meaning and it's bigger than that. But most of the time, sports is fun, and I want to highlight that. So check that out. I would really appreciate it. Let me know what you think. We'll go ahead and close the show with the loop. Best way to keep up with everything we've got going on at DNVR Rugby is by following along on Twitter at DNVR underscore rugby and at Colton Strickler is my personal account. Got some other fun pieces in the works, still trying to put it all together, but some good stuff regarding the Raptors that I'm excited about. And I'm excited to just see, what happens with MLR this year. Looking forward to making some more fun content. Hopefully it gets a little bit more people into rugby. Share it. If you got people that you might think would be interested in rugby, send them some of it, see if they like it. But that's my show for the week. Thank you to everybody for listening. I hope you all had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will catch you all back here next week. Enjoy the matches. Enjoy the Super Bowl.